Welcome to The Conscious Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Alex Raymond. This is the only podcast that is 100% dedicated to the well-being of entrepreneurs. Now, I know that being an entrepreneur is a long journey and it can be really tough. So on this show, we won't be sharing generic hero stories or talking about mythical unicorns. Instead, we'll get straight to the heart of what matters most, giving you tools and resources to grow, thrive, and succeed as an entrepreneur. Every week, I'll be speaking with incredible founders, CEOs, coaches, and authors to help you be more resilient and inspired as you build the business of your dreams. As entrepreneurs, one of our primary jobs is constant communication. This is sharing visions, rallying teams, attracting investors, and connecting with our customers. Effective storytelling and persuasive communication are super important for inspiring action, driving change, and building successful companies. On today's show, we welcome Aaron Weed, who is an authenticity expert, a speaking coach, and the creator of a process she calls The Dig. Aaron helps individuals from entrepreneurs to thought leaders uncover and articulate their true selves, what's really going on inside, what really motivates them. This deep dive into authenticity not only promotes greater self-awareness, but also makes leaders more effective communicators. By embracing their genuine identity, leaders can build stronger connections, inspire greater trust, and drive more impactful interactions, both in their personal and professional lives. So ask yourself, what could being more authentic unleash for you? Let's find out on this episode of the Conscious Entrepreneur Podcast. Aaron Weed, great to have you on the Conscious Entrepreneur Podcast.
Hi, Alex. So happy to be here.
Now, you do so much work helping people to tell their story, to tap into their authentic truth and to be convincing and to really let their stories come through and shine in an important way. And this is such a big deal for entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs are always in storytelling mode, whether we are fundraising, whether we're trying to get a customer, whether we're trying to get someone to come and join the team. And so being an effective communicator is an incredibly important skill for an entrepreneur to have. I'd love to get your perspective on how this skill manifests in the world and the common mistakes that you've seen entrepreneurs face, or frankly, anyone make when it comes to communicating. Because I, like you, like everybody listening to this podcast, we've all sat through pitches and speeches and, you know, conversations and sometimes thought, wow, this person really gets it. That was so convincing. And I'm so drawn to what he or she has to say. Or sometimes we sit there and say, oh gosh, what time is it? How do I get out of this conversation? Can I leave this event early? You know, that sort of thing. So what are the mistakes that people are making when it comes to getting their message across, Aaron?
Well, I would say the biggest mistake is that they're simply not themselves. And so that really kind of kicked off this whole aspect of my career because I started realizing that the audience had shifted over time. I first became a professional speaker in 2001. And I noticed that during that time, the really good, you know, jazz hands, high performer, those kind of people, they were killing it back then. And then things started to shift over time where audiences started appreciating the polished and the perfect less, and they started craving the authenticity and the realness more. And strangely enough, one of the things that I attribute this shift to is reality television.
Okay.
Because all that was really kind of coming to be in the early 2000s-ish, you know, and I actually used to work in reality television, so maybe my awareness to it was just heightened, but I just started to notice that people had a craving for the more raw and real human experience, and so the speakers that started doing well were the people that were more tapped into that. And so I started realizing in this chapter of my career, and I work with a lot of speakers and thought leaders, I started realizing if you can get these leaders to develop a deeper connection to themselves, to get epic clarity of who they are, what they stand for, and how to express it in a short amount of time, these leaders become unstoppable.
And so it's that clarity that's important. And I know that you had a story and about being a was an extra on reality TV and like seeing this, all this happen. I remember when Big Brother was a thing. You know, this is way back in like 2000, 2001. That's the one at least that sticks out in my head that kicked it all off. But what was your experience there? Like, how deep in the trenches were you as it relates to reality TV?
I mean, I was a paid extra on a trashy dating show called Elimidate, you know, like I was the girl like grinding in the background with randoms. And I mean, it was a joke, man. It was so just fake and yet so understanding the people's desire for it to be real. And that itself is such an interesting paradox. But I noticed that because it was a dating show, the people who were most authentic tended to do the best on the dating side of things. And so I was paying attention to that in the midst of this whole environment that was not supporting realness at all. So it was just so much paradox, very amusing time of my life.
And so for us to be effective communicators and to get our point across, we have to know who we are, where we're coming from, and as you put it, you know, what we stand for. And yeah. When I talk to entrepreneurs, and I see this a lot, you know, especially when it comes to pitching their business. And for me, the thing that I see all the time is they just jump into numbers mode, right? And they're sort of all talking to the head. They're saying, well, our business is going to be great because of X size of total addressable market and Y number of users that we might have out there. And, you know, here's our economics. And it's all this like facts and figures and very rational. And what I'm hearing from you is we need to blend that. We need to match that with the emotion of why I care about this, why I care about this so much that I created a business for it, why this matters to people, why this is something that I'm going to do no matter what, like sort of do or die type of moment. And so this sounds like we're getting from, you know, head to heart, which I know is one of the constructs that you've used before, sort of head, heart, core. How do we start to put that to use? And the other thing I'd love to hear from you is like, how do we develop the confidence to talk in that way in front of a crowd or in front of people we've never met before or in front of investors who we may feel intimidated by?
Yeah. So head, heart, core is the framework I talked about in my own TEDx talk. And that whole framework is based on the idea that all of us have at least three truths running at the same time. And most of us are going to feel this natural inclination to lean into one of those truths most of the time. And so the whole idea is that if we can tap into the fact that, first of all, we have three truths, there's more than just one truth, and that we can also move those through us and express them to other people, we're going to be more likely to connect with more people. So the three truths are head. That is, I think, this is factual truth. This is stuff that cannot be disputed, like my age or where I live or if I have a dog. These are just facts. This also could be data, studies, statistics, assuming that they're well done. So you got the factual truth. And but for people that are more head people, they tend to want to stay in their head because that's their comfortable place, you know? And so the idea is, how do we drop to a different place? None of these places are better or worse. They're just different. Mm-hmm. So then the next one is the heart, and that's I feel. So this is your emotional truth. Your emotional truth is constantly in motion and no one can dispute it. You're the only one who knows your emotional truth right now. So that's that piece. And then the third piece is the core. And so, you know, right here in your gut, it's like, what do you want? So if you have, I think in the head, I feel in the heart, I want in the core. When you put these three truths together, you have the most full, honest, authentic, genuine expression of yourself that I've discovered so far. And when it comes to turning that into a communication piece, that is also the most concise way to relate to people. You know, like if you give somebody your factual, emotional, and desire-based truth in a short amount of time, they're going to get you. They might not agree with you. They might not be aligned with you, but they're going to get you. And I do notice that a lot of people feel fundamentally misunderstood. And I think we have to own a lot of responsibility for that.
Tell me more.
Well, I just think it's our responsibility to be communicating our truth. It's not up to other people to be mind readers or heart readers or gut readers. You know what I mean? We have to, I think as conscious leaders, one of the things that I feel really passionate about is encouraging conscious leaders and entrepreneurs to be the ones to go first. to be willing to go into the maybe the more uncomfortable of the three dimensions of your truth. Because here's the exciting piece about that. When a leader goes to that place first, other people will naturally start to mirror you. Mm-hmm. And if we want to start talking about how to have more authentic work cultures, more authentic worlds, we have to be able to be willing to go first and to be brave and to, you know, stick our foot into maybe a uncomfortable place and not always know how you're going to be met, but know that it's true. And I think that there's a lot of, you had asked a few minutes ago about confidence, like the confidence to share your truth. Here's what I find. There's three C's. So there's clarity. Once you get that epic amount of clarity of what you're talking about, that naturally is going to turn into the second C, which is confidence. Like if you think about a subject matter, Alex, that you know up and down, you've been doing for years, it can be personal or professional. Does something pop to your mind? Something that you just know.
I know what it is like to be an entrepreneur. I can tell you that. I've been doing it for a long time.
Okay. So you know what it's like to be an entrepreneur. That probably means that you have a lot of clarity on what that means to be an entrepreneur. So naturally, if someone was to ask you to talk to somebody in a small group setting or a one-on-one setting or in a group or a large group setting, one-to-one, one-to-some, or one-to-many, you're probably going to have some unshakable confidence that you can talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So the whole idea is that if we stop focusing on the third C, which is connection, that's, I want the clicks, I want the standing ovation, I want everybody to love me. That's the connection that only is a result of the building blocks of clarity turning into natural confidence. Does that make sense? So I've found that you can't really reverse the order of these three C's. You can't get the connection without the confidence. You can't get the confidence without the clarity. You can have fake confidence. I totally believe in fake it till you make it. We all, especially as entrepreneurs, are doing that sometimes on a daily basis. But isn't true confidence so much better? You know?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Yeah. When I hear you talk about, I think, I feel, I want, it reminds me, one of the things that my wife is saying to me a lot is, I don't have clarity on what I want. Right? Yeah. She's always asking me, what do you want? What do you really want? And I find that I struggle to answer that question sometimes. Like, I don't know. And so that's been something, a process for me to really sort of sit back and say, what do I really want out of this situation or what's going on here? And it's still, even though I try, it's still not something that comes naturally to me. How can I start to fix that? How can I address that?
Well, and that is a great example that you bring up, because I find that when people don't have the clarity, a certain kind of paralysis sets in, because they're not clear. They don't want to move forward in the wrong direction. And so for some people that can turn into days, weeks, months, years, decades of just, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. To me, that's one of the most ultimate tragedies possible, because we only have this one life.
Right.
You know, so sometimes, and one of the reasons that I developed my method called the DIG, which I know we're going to talk about, is sometimes we need to figure out exactly what we individually are going to respond to it to elicit our own truth. So that question, for example, what do you want? For a lot of people, that just brings up so much pressure. It's just not a good question. If somebody can answer it with clarity and confidence, it is, but a lot of people can't. And so for other people who might be driven by other things in life, perhaps a better question is, what sounds like fun?
Mm-hmm.
What lights you up?
Mm.
What would you do if you didn't have to make any money? Right? There's all these different bypasses to get to truth based on how a person is wired and what's important to them.
Got it. Yeah. I feel very put on the spot when I get told, you know, what do you want? And I think, oh, there's a right answer here. And I've got to come up with the right answer. And the one that the person, you know, who's asking the question is going to think good of me for having given them the right answer that they're happy with, and so on. So yeah, it definitely causes paralysis for me. That I really resonate with that. And so let's talk about the process of the DIG, and, tell us how this will help to uncover what's truly authentic to us. Help us understand how this will help us to become truly known.
Well, I'll back up for a second and just talk about the origination of the DIG. So it started in 2012 when I first started coaching speakers at TEDx Boulder. And I started doing the DIG without calling it the DIG or knowing it was a method because I was working with these super genius people that had so many years of experience, education, data, and they were being charged with this incredible challenge to distill their life's work down to 18 minutes or less.
Right. So that's the format of a TEDx talk is you take someone who's very well known in their space and you say, we're going to give you a very short period of time and give us something insightful that the whole world will listen to and think, oh, wow, that was really great. I really learned something there. And so your job was to coach them on how to do this well.
Yeah, no pressure, right? Like the way that you just like broke that down is so accurate. And so, and also this is in a very, very public forum that's going to be on the internet forever and ever and ever. So don't screw it up, right? So much pressure and such a big challenge. So as a coach, my job was to help people to develop their talks. It was not really given to me exactly how to do that. But because I had come off of, at that point, I'd been a professional speaker with my previous company for about 13 years. I started thinking about those times where I had to give a really high stakes talk and what was the most important. Mm. And so I started realizing that I always would create the best talks of my life when I simply was telling a story and then finding the bigger meaning in the story so that everyone else in the room could also get something from what I just shared.
Okay.
And so I started, instead of speaker coaching these TEDx speakers, I was like, just tell me your story. You know, where'd you grow up? What did you study? What's your work about? Do you have a dog? Like, I was just asking them all these different questions. And what I started to notice was that there were these one-word frequencies that would keep popping up. And I can't think of a better word than frequency, but I hope the audience is understanding this idea that a word can carry a frequency. It can carry a feeling. Like when I say the word freedom, there's a feeling in the word freedom, right? If
yes.
you tap into
yes.
it, you see an eagle in your mind's eye, or you think about vacation, right? Versus if I said the word integrity, totally different word, no better or worse. But now it's like a little more grounded. It has a bit more of like principal educator kind of energy, or you know, something like that.
Yes.
Truthy. So I started realizing that as these TEDx speakers were talking, I was picking up on these one word themes that were very consistent, no matter if they were talking about their kids or this data study that they just, you know, came up with their research institute. So, so I started thinking maybe there's something over this whole thing, you know, like maybe all of us are called to, of course, have subject matters, areas of expertise, but there's also a bigger thematic thing running in the background all the time. Like for someone like you who knows entrepreneurship through and through and through, why? What is it about entrepreneurship in one word? What is the frequency that entrepreneurship provides you?
The way that I think about this is entrepreneurship is a vehicle for creativity. So it's a process of bringing something to life, of creating something that didn't previously exist, of organizing things that are currently disorganized. And to me, that's a creative act.
Okay, that's beautiful. So you do entrepreneurship from the frequency of creation versus we could probably think of several of our mutual friends who do it for very, very different reasons.
Sure.
Some might do it for growth. Some might do it. I know we have a mutual friend. Her dig word is desire.
Okay.
Right? Like there's a lot of different frequencies that we can actually accomplish the same thing through. And one of the ways that you can experience this is if you go to a conference, maybe for example, like the Conscious Entrepreneur Conference coming up soon. But if you go and you see several speakers and they're talking about the same topic, and yet you leave with a very different feeling. It's usually because whether they know it or not, they're carrying a different frequency.
Yes, there's a different essence to what they're bringing to the message that they're bringing.
Totally.
So, for example, you can talk about entrepreneurship. A lot of people talk about entrepreneurship in terms of freedom, right? They say, "Oh, I want to be an entrepreneur, so I have the freedom to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and schedules and locations and so on." I do it for creativity because I found it a tremendous outlet. Some people do it because they want to get rich. Some people do it because they want to have influence. Some people do it, like you're saying, for desire. So there's all these different ways. And so we can look at one sort of piece of content. And what you're saying is it depends on, or what we receive based on that is how they are bringing it. So the frequency that they are associating with that content. Is that right?
Yeah. And it's something that you feel. Now, you're doing it no matter you realize it or not. But what I've noticed that the power is with the dig and going through someone's life story and figuring out what is that one word that just keeps repeating, it gives the leader that confidence, that clarity, and that confidence to know what they're really talking about. So like big subject matter and then little subject matter. Big subject mm-hmm. matter is, you know, freedom. Little subject matter is finance, right? It's the big why funneled down into the how. And when people know this about themselves, it gives them so much space to express themselves. And I can give you a personal example. So my dig word is authentic. Mm-hmm. So I'm on this life path, and you can see this throughout my entire life. I have made my most massive failures and have earned my biggest successes all through the lens of authenticity.
All right.
I am the biggest student and one of the best teachers on this topic. So with authenticity, I started my first company, which was called Girls Fight Back. And I started that in 2001. It was a women's safety and self-defense education company. And we basically gave these 90-minute one-woman show assemblies at high schools and colleges across the world, teaching young women how to become their own best protectors. Mm-hmm. And it was taught in a very MTV sort of way, very, you know, fun, cool. All of our instructors were in their 20s, like your cool older sister.
Okay.
And I didn't know this at the time, but during the 13 years that I was running that company, I was always just like, what is my bigger thing here? Like, clearly we've established ourselves a successful company that teaches this kind of education, which can be kind of a crunchy topic for girls that age, especially. But we figured it out. But after I sold the company in 2013, I was like, what was that all about? I mean, there was definitely very personal reasons why I started it, but it was bigger than that. And it was like, I finally realized that the true reason that I started it was because women who are walking around in the world and making choices based on their personal safety are not able to be their most authentic selves. If we are telling ourselves, hey, it's maybe not safe to go travel the world and be a backpacker in Europe, I should really just bring a friend instead or not go at all. Or, hey, this internship sounds really great, but you know what? That's got a creepy parking garage and I don't want to deal with that at weird hours of the night. Right.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I should really get out of this relationship with this guy, but we live together and I don't want to sleep alone at night because that's just freaky. So I'm just going to stay in the relationship. And these are decisions that women are consciously or unconsciously making, because fundamentally a lot of women walk through the world feeling afraid for their personal safety.
Yes.
And what I realized, that it was a violation to me that this was true. It was a violation that so many women didn't feel empowered to live their most authentic life because we don't want to get murdered.
Hey, fellow entrepreneurs, join us at the 3rd annual Conscious Entrepreneur Summit in Boulder, Colorado on June 4th and 5th. This is not just another business event. It's a life-changing experience to learn from super successful CEOs and leaders and people like best-selling author Ryan Holiday, who's going to be there to share how to use Stoic philosophy for business success. More than learning, this event is about connecting with a community of entrepreneurs who are committed to their well-being and growth. I'm hosting, and I can't wait to share this journey with you. Check out the website, consciousentrepreneur.us, for more details. You took Girls Fight Back, which has a premise of establishing physical safety for women. And then you said, well, what's the bigger picture here? And then what I understand you're saying is, we then got to, okay, because we are needing to spend all this time worrying about physical safety, it limits my expression of authenticity in my life. And that's how you decided that the word authenticity was the through line of that experience. Did I get that right?
Correct. Women could not lead their most authentic lives if we're fundamentally living in fear. And I didn't realize this at the time. And frankly, it caused me a lot of self-doubt because I was always like, what is this about? Is this about empowerment? Is this about vengeance? Because I had lost one of my sorority sisters to murder. And so it was a deeply upsetting reason that I would even start a company like that.
Yeah,
so
my
goodness.
So I had
to question myself, like, am I just an angry woman? Like, what? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I really, truly just wish that my friend Shannon and myself at that time, being a 20-something living in New York City, I just wish we could just go about our lives and just do what we do, you know?
Yeah,
and
of course.
But it wasn't possible with her and wasn't possible for a lot of women. And so you summarized it very well, Alex, because, but I didn't know it at the time. And I wish I would have, because I probably would have done some things differently if I had more like big C level clarity of why I was doing this company.
Got it. Wow. That's, I mean, amazing. So this business had its origin in trauma, in very traumatic experience in your life. And then from there, you're able to bring the service to others and teach them the skills. And then as part of that, you're saying, hey, this is really about authenticity. So that on its own is a tremendous gift to the world, doing that stuff. And then you realize authenticity is my go-to word. It's the thing that's, you know, if we were to unpack Aaron and get all the way into the middle, there'd be a little word that said authenticity or authentic. Mm-hmm. And then how do you then bring that to life in other stuff? So how does that then form coaching? I know you work with all sorts of cool people. You've worked with clients like Lewis Howes, Amy Porterfield, Tim Urban, Denver Broncos, like Benny Fowler, Ryan Harris. I mean, these are all really well-known people. Mm-hmm. And so you're helping them to discover the one word that's sitting within them so that they can then bring that to their audiences, to their clients, to their relationships, to their life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think and everybody you just listed is just an extremely successful person, you know, and yet they feel like something's missing. They feel like something is not totally realized that is holding back not only their internal self-knowing, but their external expression, which then turns into our message, our speeches, our marketing, all those things. So for me, I see your truth as being an internal and an external, constantly moving cycle. The more you deeply know yourself, the more you can show up in the world as a teacher, as a model, right? It should never stop.
So it's not like I pick a word and then I'm stuck with the word for life and I can never change my mind or I can never evolve into another expression.
Well, I'm definitely not into anyone being stuck or trapped. Like freedom is actually in my operating system of my dig. So I have no need for that. However, I will tell you that anyone who's ever dug with me privately, they have never changed their word.
Okay. So once we find it, we get it tattooed.
I mean, I'm not opposed to someone changing it at some point, but I have had people come back and just be like, hey, I thought my word, you know, we did the dig, my word was worth. And then, but you know, all these things have changed in my life. So I'd be like, all right, let's kind of redig or let's do a follow up.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, by the end of the session, they're like, still worth. It's just worth. That I hate it. And a lot of people don't like their dig words because it's your biggest life lesson. It is your path. And sometimes we can be very resentful of what we've been dealt. But I like to believe that on some spiritual level, we picked it for ourselves for a very big reason.
Wow. So that's great. This is super important. So, you know, we all think, oh, I've got to tell a message that's inspiring and uplifting and like gets other people to rally around me or whatever. But what I'm hearing you say is, when we really uncover the truth that's underneath us that needs to come out in the world, it needs to get manifest in the world, that can have origins that we're not happy about, or that can actually come out in a way where we think, hey, I don't really love the fact that I've had to deal with whatever it is I've had to deal with in my life, but that is what is coming up. And therefore, this is the direction of my life is to bring this to the world, whether I'm externally proud of it or not. That's really surprising because, you know, I kind of think of this as like, you're supposed to be this rah, rah, like, oh, let's all go celebrate, you know, the right direction I'm going in. But in some cases, that's not the case.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you could almost compare it to eye color, right? Like I have green eyes. if I don't like having green eyes, well, I have green eyes. There's nothing I'm going to do about it. It's just, how do I work with these green eyes? You know what I mean? And like, for example, I have a woman in New York City, and she is a consultant in diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And through her dig process, we found out that her word is power. Well, she's like, I don't love that, because everything I'm doing
that's off brand.
It's like because of the abuse of power. Like, she's like, I don't want to be associated with that, right? But I was like, but that's exactly why you landed here, because she is bringing the light into this very dark kind of power system that is specifically in the corporate structure. Mm. And so she doesn't, to this day, she doesn't love it, but she knows it's true.
So what are some of the questions that I can start to explore if I want to go down this path? So someone says, I really want to understand the deeper motivation here. What's at my core. I want to be able to uncover this single word. I know you have a whole process called the dig, which is involved and a lot of back and forth. But if I just have curiosity about this, what are the top handful of questions that I can start to ask?
Well, I mean, really what the dig is a culmination of multiple reflective questions, and we're looking for the pattern repeating. So what you could be asking yourself is just, you know, how do I believe people should show up in a marriage? How have I showed up in my marriage? Where have I failed in my marriage? And just getting really reflective about that. And then switching topics. What do I believe about spirituality? Right? Like, just getting introspective. And I'm currently developing an online course right now to help people essentially dig themselves, because I think it's totally doable. You don't have to have a facilitator to do it, even though I have a whole team of them. But when we start to ask ourselves all these, you know, similar questions, but in different areas of our life, we start to see repeating themes. And then we zero in on the themes. We let the story fall away. And then we just see how the themes dance together. And that becomes an operating system. Your operating system is 10 words or less of these one word frequencies.
Okay.
And the dig word is almost like, the operating system is like the sports team that's playing the game. The dig word is the captain, and it's calling the shots.
Okay.
So the beautiful thing about this, though, is that I've done over 1,000 digs in the last 12 years. No one's operating system is even remotely the same.
Okay.
Like, and you know what? We had talked earlier about, like, what's something that, you know, your audience might really need to know. And I think one of the things that holds conscious entrepreneurs back is we do not know or accept the fact of how unique, special, and needed our voices are. They just don't know. I know. I know, because I've just told these people. I have actual data points to see that these 1,000 plus people are so wildly different, with such different stories, such different wisdom, so many different outcomes and snippets to leave people with, and they just have no freaking clue. And it drives me crazy, because the world needs to hear this. We're helping each other evolve. As Ram Dass says, we're all just walking each other home, right?
Can you give us an example? What's your operating system? What are your 10 words or word cloud?
Yeah. So the fun thing about operating systems, not only do you get your 10 words or less, but they kind of take a shape. So some people's operating system, it's like maybe a tree. They have like a very organic vibe about them. Some people, it's a very matter-of-fact cycle. It goes in a circle. Everybody's is different. Mine is a hawk. It's like a V.
Cool.
And okay. I'm a big hawk lady. I love hawks. I live in a place where there's hawks flying around all the time. And the bottom of the V is free. I just need to be free. Hawk energy, right? And then next to those are authentic and express. So that bottom triangle is free to authentically express. This is what I do for a living, you know?
Yeah.
This
nice.
Is also where I have messed up my life in untold ways, is not giving myself the freedom to authentically express myself. You know what I mean? And then moving up the wings, it gets a little less concentrated, but it's integrity and grace, create and connect. And above the whole thing is all about, it's the word soar. And it has a very collective feeling of like, if we can all feel free to authentically express ourselves with integrity and grace, and we create and we connect for the sake of the greater good, like humanity only can evolve in a positive direction.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Let's take it in a more tactical direction. So I'm an entrepreneur and I've got a big sales pitch coming up. How do I use my word? How do I use this foundation set of words and knowledge about myself to be more effective day to day doing something like a sales presentation?
Yeah, well, this is fun. So when you get your operating system, not only is that just how you tick in the world, but that is your core message. And one of the final things that we do in the DIG process is we explain your whole operating system in under 3 sentences so that you can explain that core message to anyone. And that core message is going to turn into every speech, every book, every blog post, every interview you ever do, you know, on some frequency level.
So you become the product, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's your truth just coming out of you in a succinct way. I mean, hey, we both are, you know, bolder kind of people. I'm all for sharing circles that go on for hours and like all these like truthy kind of experiences. But you know what? Like, I work within Google. I work within Cable Labs. You know, these are busy people, thought leaders, TED Talks. I think it's very liberating when we can take big truth and hyper distill. Everyone is freed in that process and no one is bored.
If I think about mine, the big ones that come up are that I know are just in common themes for me are things like creativity, like I said before, so creation. Also, contribution is mm-hmm. a big one. So like, mm-hmm. you know, my love language is acts of service. So I do a lot of contributing. I do a lot of mm-hmm. Stuff for others, and that's very important value to me. Freedom is one that comes up a lot. Growth and learning come up a lot. So those are, you know, just top of my head, and I'm not just kind of making this up. These are things that I've uncovered through my own processes. Those are the ones that come up. So I can easily imagine. I mean, I could very easily imagine how this all fits into a broader story around, for example, conscious entrepreneur, right? So we're contributing learning and growth. We're contributing ways that people can be more creative and find more freedom in their life. We're contributing ways that they can grow and learn and develop as human beings, you know, that kind of thing. So to me, this feels like very, very aligned. And it makes me really trust what it is that you're saying and the method that you're using here.
Yeah. And isn't it fun to think about the fact that this probably will never change for you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's something you can really sink into. It's something you can truly become the master of, you know? And as you know, I'm an Enneagram 7, so I always love a good shiny object, you know. And
what are the characteristics of Enneagram 7?
An Enneagram 7, very attracted to new things, new, exciting, interesting, has a hard time focusing, kind of life of the party, but also a bit flighty at times.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you follow the Enneagram at all?
I'm a novice, but I understand that I'm an Enneagram type 5, which lo and behold is someone who likes to discover and ask questions and investigate and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, yeah. So I just still, even as a 7 who always likes something new, I mean, I almost can't believe that I've been doing this DIG work for 12 years and I don't ever see myself discontinuing it. In fact, I just, you know, now we're building the course and it's so exciting for me to bring this to the masses. And I, you know, like I said, I trained certified facilitators last year and now they're out using the DIG for all these different purposes. A lot of them are not communications professionals like myself. They're executive coaches or website designers or all these things. But what I've noticed is that when you have a method that helps people just be more authentic, you really kind of can't fail with that client because what you are then going to deliver for them is going to be so true to them that they just kind of fall in love with you. Like, people just want to be seen. That's it.
Totally. Totally. And so I, you know, this is a message I want to leave with our audience, which is entrepreneurs, the world wants you to show up. The world wants you to show up as you are. It wants you to bring your presence, your authentic voice into the conversation. And so don't be afraid of that. There's only one you. You've got all the answers as it relates to you and how you want to appear in the world. as entrepreneurs, we're always doing things like putting on a mask and pretending everything's going well and, you know, doing the things that we believe are going to keep us safe in the world. But that doesn't work. Those are not things that are effective. What's much more effective, and what we've learned here from Aaron Weed, is more effective is to find out who you truly are and then use your voice to express that and to make yourself known in the world. That's what I'm taking away from this conversation. Anything else you'd add there, Aaron?
You know, the final thing I'll say is what a lot of my clients say at the end of a private intensive, where they'll look at their operating system and they'll just say, I could talk about that all day long. And this, the relief of when we come back to ourselves and we almost like recognize ourselves as if we were a long lost friend in the airport. Like, we all deserve that. We deserve the level of ease and flow and authenticity that naturally can be yours by simply knowing this basic information about yourself.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate this conversation. Thanks so much for joining us on the Conscious Entrepreneur Podcast. And thank you for helping everyone to tell their story in an authentic and meaningful and impactful way. Thanks so much for joining us, Aaron Weed.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Conscious Entrepreneur. If you're ready to go deeper into working on yourself, check out the upcoming events, articles, and resources on our website, which is consciousentrepreneur.us. I'd also really like to thank the team at Hivecast for producing this episode. If you run a podcast and are looking for an awesome full-service production company, make sure to check out Hivecast.